The character planted in the audience that you'd never expect to be on the payroll. And when she plays her big scene, she creates more heat than you could ever imagine. Now here's the secret. She's a stunt granny.
There's been 157 of these aptly titled hunks of shit. This is Jeremy. Kevin's with me today. We'll be hearing from Eric later in the week. Not sure about Dusty. There's the rundown for the rest of the week in the first 30 seconds of the show. So,
yes.
Yes. Kevin and I are here to talk about all the big news. You know, Night of Champions was packed with news. Raw was packed with news. And that's really all that's going on in wrestling right now.
Yeah. That train wreck that is TNA is, wow. Did I actually do a blog for that one? Or did I just do? Yeah, no, I'm so pissed at them. I can't even work it up to actually do a real column. It's just like, fuck it. Every week I'm like, just come on our Twitter account at Stunt Granny at some point, and you will probably hear me reviewing TNA because it is not worth my effort to actually put a posting up.
No, it's hardly worth the watch anymore. Although they're baiting now with Hulk Hogan announcing left and right that he's retiring from wrestling at the next TV tapings, I think, in Knoxville.
Yes.
So yeah, make that of it what you will.
Yep.
But anyways, we're here to talk about Night of Champions and Raw. TNA will get brought up later, and knowing our sites, you know what we're going to talk about at the end of the show. So just bear with us while we work through WWE right now. Night of Champions, you nailed it in the definitely half-assed, almost live review. We both weren't thinking, because this one looked solid on paper, those are the ones you skip. And I wish one of us would have remembered that before we ordered the pay-per-view.
Yeah, no, I just felt like a complete ass. Like the funny thing was, it didn't even hit me until the next day. I was like, oh, I completely skipped one of my cardinal rules.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and if you've listened to these, you know exactly what we're talking about. Anytime a show, it's a good rule of thumb, anytime a show looks like, yes, that's a must order, don't get it. Because it's going to disappoint, and not because of high expectations, it's just going to disappoint in general. But if it's a show that you're like, ugh, what is this? Those always seem to be the shows that the guys bust their ass the hardest, and the booking stays out of the way of the talent. And they're usually, what, if you go by the 10-star rating, what, 7 to 10 for almost all of them? Or 7 to 9, because mostly hardly any of them get a 10.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, if any pay-per-view got a 10, I, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I just go home and stop watching wrestling.
Yeah. Just yeah, like... pretty much go out on top. But, so knowing that, I think you can tell... Neither of us were that impressed with Night of Champions.
Yeah, even if I think that that things could be better off long term with what happened there, it doesn't mean that I liked what happened there either.
Right. It's okay, and I guess this is part of the problem is everyone's ranting and raving about WWE and what they're doing now because of coming out of Night of Champions. And I think some of it's legit. Some of it's obviously just really ridiculously overblown. But there were some pretty poor decisions made for this show. And even going into the show, there were some poor decisions, don't you think?
Yeah. what? Well, I'm trying to think of Yeah, they just didn't set it up very well in particular. You know, with... how do I want to put this? Oh, you know, it almost would have been better if they want... Well, with CM Punk already being announced for the next pay-per-view for the title match, It almost would have made more sense to not have him go up against Triple H at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And have him go against Del Rio for the rematch and have John Cena do something else or just have a three-man match.
Right.
And have the same interference that happen in that match so that they've got to, hey, we got to keep the outside elements out. We're going to put you guys in Hell in a Cell again.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, and we talked about this and it's been talked to death, but you know, the rushing of Triple H and CM Punk, and I think it was readily apparent they rushed this thing because there's nowhere to go with it. I mean, unless they turn Punk or Hunter heel, the feud's dead, and I mean, I guess it's jumping to the end of the pay-per-view, but the match itself was okay until the end.
Yeah, right. Yeah, no, the match was good. I mean, Punk seems to be able to do it with anything, and just because we disliked the match more than most people between Triple H and Undertaker at WrestleMania doesn't mean that it wasn't at least a decent to good match.
Yeah.
You know, I think that was one of those things, too, is that we kind of felt forced to completely go the other route because everyone was blowing it so much.
Yeah.
It's just like, no, it wasn't that good. But it was still good, and this was another case where Hunter's, you know, in his limited role, really, has delivered good matches when he's been on TV. Because, I mean, before he took the big sabbatical, didn't he have a good match with Sheamus?
Yes, yeah. That was at, what, WrestleMania?
WrestleMania, the previous year.
And then another, yeah. But no, I think Triple H brought it. Oh, almost used that term. Triple H came in good shape because he was looking pretty flabby, you know, before, but he didn't look quite as bad. So for a guy who's been out of the ring that long and been, you know, sedentary basically, except for his acting roles, he looked good. He didn't look winded at all. And this is another case, though. And I mean, I'm with you. I thought the match was good, and then it fell apart, but what made it good was it was smart. They didn't do anything that electric if you go back and watch. But that's the first time I ever remember seeing someone interrupt Triple H's whole spit take. I can't think of anybody else.
Why did I miss that?
Yeah, well, because you probably were like, ugh, he's doing the motions. CM Punk blasts and just comes and hits him from behind while he's doing it. And really, that was such a shocking moment because no one's done that. And that goes to the smart part of the match because if he's that eager to get his hands on him, why would he wait?
Yeah, why do the spit take?
Right.
Yeah, because even, you know, I mean, well, anyone, really. Cena is just like, if he really wants to get his hands on someone, he just charges right into the ring, and it's like no fucking around. He's ready to take the guy out.
Yeah. Yeah, but no, they had their nice brawl. I thought the spot with Punk jumping off the top rope, going through the table on Hunter was pretty cool, because you don't see many of those big spots anymore.
Yeah.
So it seemed important.
But that really, as far as like crazy kind of moves go or anything like really big, that was probably the biggest thing that happened in the match.
Right. Yeah. But that's what I was getting at is there was nothing grand about it, you know, it was just a solid effort.
Right.
And then they realized, oh shit, we got nowhere to go with this. So let's pull the Miz and R-Truth surprise, because everyone's expecting Kevin Nash to show up. So hey, we'll have them come out instead. That's how I took that.
Right.
And then they painted themselves in a corner on Monday, which we'll get to in a little bit. at least they foreshadowed it in the beginning of the show, but does it make the interference acceptable? Because it was kind of, I don't know, it just seemed like they did it just to throw you for a curve and not because it made sense in the long-term story.
And I guess that, to me, that bleeds into Monday and today, honestly. Like, I don't think I can really talk about one without the other at this point.
Right.
Is that I don't know what it was. The last couple of weeks, I've just felt like they've had something in mind. And I don't know if the execution doesn't seem to have been that good. But to me, I still feel like they have something long-term in mind.
Okay. Yeah.
I think that was part of the reason our show sucked last week, is we kind of, like, for us, we kind of chickened out of having an opinion and just fucking going with it.
That won't happen later, trust me.
Yeah, and that, to me, I don't know what it is. To me, there's just something that's saying to me, just believe them this time. Let them go. It happens sometimes. We went through a whole decade of watching it where we were okay with the long-term booking.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, okay, like the pieces aren't fitting together yet, but shouldn't they? And I thought some of them maybe dropped into place more last night and today. You know, it just, there's no way they're firing The Miz and R-Truth. I mean, yeah, whatever. I know it was on the website.
Yeah, I mean, no one's buying it. So, yes, obviously it's part of a story. But
so, yeah, no, I'm kind of hoping that it all kind of comes together. Granted, it could still all fall to shit. But, you know, for the first time in a long time, I feel like they actually have something in mind.
Okay. Now I'm of the opinion that there is a long-term plan, okay?
Uh-huh.
But I really don't think Miz and R-Truth had something to do with it before last night. They've been pulling up this conspiracy thing and this and this, but their big plan was to take the tag team titles for some reason. That's all you ever had. There was no inclination that they were ever going to get physically involved in anything. And then they kind of planted the seed, and everything that happened in there just seemed like, okay, everyone's expecting someone to interfere, but we're going to give you these two guys instead because you're not expecting that to happen. And then they had and then going to the long-term thing, like you were mentioning, they had to follow it up with something. And, I know they kept showing John Laurinaitis, who apparently doesn't understand camera work if he's texting right in front of plain sight. But
yeah, he also understand screen presence either. But
or acting, but whatever. There's a reason he wasn't a wrestler in America for very long. I'm sorry, at least not a popular wrestler.
Yeah, I love the surf dudes.
Oh, God. What were they called? I don't remember. I hated them, though. God, one of the highlights of my wrestling viewing was it the Young Dudes? Dudes with Attitudes?
Oh, yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah, because weren't they the Surf Dudes in WCW?
Oh,
and yes. Then they were the Dudes with Attitudes when they moved to the WWF. WWF.
Hang on, I'm pulling up real quick.
Yeah, anywho.
I'm sorry, the Dudes with Attitudes were Sting and Lex Luger. Dear, forgot about that. Who the fuck? Well, anyways, now I'm obsessed with finding out what they were called.
What the shit?
The Dynamic Dudes, excuse me.
Oh, okay.
No, the best thing I've ever seen was Jim Cornette blasting one of those idiots with his tennis racket and having the Midnight Express beat him. Because there was the whole thing with, you know, Midnight Express was going to – or Jim Cornette was going to pull away from the Midnight Express. And I was like, this is retarded. These two idiots are just the worst.
Right.
And he hit him. And I remember just being at my friend Jason's house. We were at my friend Dan's house in his basement. It was me, Jason, I remember everyone who was there. I just started yelling, just jumping up and down. Like, oh, my God. Ugh. Anyways. But no, hey, going all the way back. But it just seemed like it was subterfuge, just trying to pull the wool over everyone's eyes, because then Kevin Nash showed up.
Right.
You know, so it reminded me of SummerSlam, where Mankind won the belt only to lose it the next day to Triple H, because everyone just figured Triple H was going to win anyway, so they were just pulling a fast one for that night.
Right.
One of those things.
Yeah. And so, that still might be true, honestly, just because, I mean, going back to Kevin Nash failing the physicals, or possibly, or whatever he failed exactly, since there hasn't been like a pinpoint of what it was exactly that he failed, right?
No. No one's ever come forward and said, no one's actually ever come forward and backed that up.
Okay. That's the other thing. Like, I kept on hearing that, and I'm just like, why am I not seeing reports anywhere?
Right. Yeah, you would think with something like that, it would have gotten more out of hand, if you want to put it that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or they wouldn't have him showing up in the ring even to interfere.
Yeah, because you don't want that medical liability. I mean,
Something bad happens, and it's just like, okay. So, yeah, it still is probably, it's still poorly constructed.
Yeah.
But I still think that they have a long-term goal. And that's fine by me. I'm still kind of waiting to see what they do to officially put a stamp of approval or disapproval on this on this whole thing.
Yeah, but also, doesn't it? And maybe this is a different conversation, but I'll bring it up anyways. Do you think that the Rock John Cena match at WrestleMania is kind of hindering any sort of not difference? What's the word I'm looking for? They're kind of stuck right now, because you want to make that match at WrestleMania the match, but now if they're going to bump it up to Survivor Series, isn't that like the elephant in the room that they're all trying to write around? And that's why, like, you can't have CM Punk still be champion right now. You can't have, I mean, I guess you could have had it until Hell in a Cell, whatever, but no one's going to be happy that John Cena wins again. I think that's just a given now.
Yeah, no one on the internet's going to be happy about it. I would have to say that the crowd, as usual, agreed and disagreed with said decision.
Yeah.
Because, again, going back to sales, like, I've still seen as many Cena shirts as anything else around.
Yeah.
Like, well, we don't know any Cena fans, really, but they obviously exist.
Well, I mean, going to that point, and I know this is Raw talk, but John Cena last night, and Elise pointed him out, that guy with his two twins, and John Cena gave him, like, a...
the shirt.
Yeah, but there were two kids with headbands, or sweatbands, whatever they're called.
Yeah, shirts.
What's it called?
Yeah,
shirts and whatever else.
Yeah, I think they have the headbands, sweatbands, and the shirt. It's just like, there you go. Like, I don't understand why people don't understand what the hell's up with that.
Yeah, it's simple big business. But, and also, they'll point to ratings, but, well, the ratings went back up. So,
oh.
Well, you know. But anyway, that's Raw talk, so we'll get to that in a second. So,
right.
But, I mean, the main event is what it is. Triple H winning, I didn't have a problem with it. I don't think this is a Bigfoot sort of situation. And before we even got to do this, Paul Heyman got on Twitter and said it took a jackknife, two pedigrees, and it was something else for
right.
Triple H to beat, and all that interference for Triple H to beat CM Punk.
Yeah, for as much as Triple H was also assaulted, he was not hit nearly as hard as as CM Punk was.
Yeah. But I guess the point of that is, though, it took all of that and no one's talking about that. They're acting as if Triple H just came out, gave him a pedigree, and pinned him.
Yeah, and that's definitely a problem that I have. It's just like, it's automatically, if Triple H wins, it sucks. Or if John right. Cena wins, it sucks. Like, there's no contextualization to the wins at all. It's just like, hey, can you put this in a little bit of perspective and see what happened around the match? No, Triple H won. He's a Bigfoot. Fuck him.
Yeah.
That's it. No, fucking give us some time. And I mean, you come to Raw, and it's just like, oh, okay, they have something in mind. You know, CM Punk already admits that he doesn't think that he's part of the conspiracy. You know, it kind of changes the dynamic a little bit of their relationship. Mm-hmm. And can almost still put them back on track if they want to do it at some point, of a Triple H CM Punk final showdown.
Yeah. Well, plus it also offers up a little bit of Triple H pulling the wool over CM Punk's eyes. And you run the risk of making Punk look stupid or weak, but at the same time, you also give him that bit of revenge built in. If, you know, if they decide to go with the heel turn for Triple H, and that he was behind it the whole time, you know?
Right.
There were more openings with Triple H winning than CM Punk winning.
Yeah, no, they're pretty much done if CM Punk wins.
Yeah.
He gets his vindication, and we're done. And then people bitch about him getting his vindication too quickly.
Yeah. Well, they push the match, and then, well, yeah, it's we get it. Just shut the fuck up. So let's move on to John Cena and Alberto. This was another one. What are you supposed to say about a champ who didn't even show up for a week and a half of his title reign on TV? It's, I mean, and regardless if it's real life issues or whatnot, but it's kind of hard to take, man. I mean,
yeah, well, and that was the other thing. There were a couple of points that I made, and I think I even made them in my preview. None of the Money in the Bank winners have held that title for, I would say, 3 months at the most.
Mm-hmm.
You know, after they've won it that initial time. Jack Swagger didn't, Edge didn't, you know, CM Punk didn't. Like, it just didn't last that long. So you knew that sooner rather than later, he was going to lose it.
Yeah. Now, what about the – all right, and I agree with you. Now, what about the argument, though, that they could have done this at – they could have had him win, make him look a little bit stronger. And, you know, even just by cheating, whatever.
Right.
And then just had him lose it at Hell in a Cell.
That would have been ideal. I can handle that. But then, you know, kind of getting everyone – in there for the Hell in a Cell. That's the only thing about my earlier idea is that getting everyone in there for the Hell in a Cell idea kind of leaves Triple H flapping in the wind in a way. Like, they had spent so much time on him and Nash that you needed something that separate to happen with them and CM Punk. And that kind of left you with just Cena and Del Rio.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, again, kind of going to the, it probably just wasn't done the best. I don't know if they had much of a choice. And then what, if Del Rio wins, why does Cena get a rematch? Especially right. since they're starting to quash all these, oh, people shouldn't get as many rematches, especially with the whole Christian angle going on.
Yeah, yes.
And then, you know, oh, no, no one should get that many rematches. And then John Cena gets another rematch. It makes more sense to have Del Rio lose, get his rematch at the pay-per-view, and then join Punk into it.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't have much to say about this one. it was what it was. John Cena won. The fans liked it.
Yeah.
Alberto's not over, so it didn't matter.
Yeah.
And from what even what you just said too, add that on top of it. I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of my biggest thing too. Is like I don't even know if I would have put Del Rio in my top five of who got booed the most when I went to Raw 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I remember you saying that too, or writing it, one or two.
Yeah, wherever I said it, I just wanted to reiterate it. It was just like seriously, I'm supposed to be pissed that a guy who isn't over is losing the title belt to someone who at least gets a reaction, whether you like him or not. He's clearly doing something for their product.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I, oh, that was the other point that I wanted to remember too. They've had Del Rio go over on a lot of big names, including Mysterio.
Right.
Mysterio
really was the catalyst to making Alberto, and it didn't work.
Yeah. It's just like, if you can't get everyone loves Mr. 619 babyface handing out masks, if he can't get you over, why am I supposed to be pumped about you in any way? And I mean, I think we made it pretty clear that we prefer heels over baby faces, too. So if we're not slobbing on this guy's knob,
yeah.
Seriously, like, you're gonna be pissed that he lost the belt?
Yep.
I don't understand how you're pissed about him losing the belt. I mean, sell me on Del Rio and maybe you'll get me upset, but he hasn't done anything to sell himself on it.
This is one of those where we just agree. I have nothing. I literally have nothing about this. We've talked about suggestions for Del Rio. It's not happening. So let's just move on. Let's move on. All right. There were the other matches. They were what they were. Let's talk about the one positive that came out of this show. And
yeah,
you
and
know
I,
where
I,
I'm
I
going.
I still can't believe the internet didn't find some way to bitch about Mark Henry winning.
Okay. You know, the match itself I thought was good. Not for a good for a Mark Henry match. I just thought it was plain good.
Yeah.
Orton started off strong as the babyface champion. Did what he, you know, did what he needed to do. It didn't work. Henry took over for a while. Randy Orton had the spot, had the hope spot. You're like, oh, here it goes. And Henry just put him down, I mean, convincingly, and won.
Yeah. No kick out. Oh, okay, Orton's at least going to kick out at this, because that was the first World's Strongest Slam, I'm pretty sure. And it's just like, oh, okay, whatever, it's a championship match. They always kick out of at least one finisher, and then you see him hit three, and it's like, holy shit.
Yeah.
They really put him over strong.
Yes, and the stunned silence in Buffalo, besides me grabbing my phone texting you, was amazing, because no one, I didn't think he was going to win. We didn't do a preview show, but that would have been my call, was Orton wins somehow.
Well, yeah, no, that was hilarious. Again, on Twitter there, I just kept on going, wow, I couldn't have been much more wrong about the results this evening.
Yeah.
Because, well, yeah, we may not have done an audio preview, but I decided to put my happy fingers to work and, oh boy. I'm not sure. I think I got one or two right, but that was about it.
Now, it's one of those things where you can't win them all.
No, but you at least hope that you win more than, like, well, maybe half of them or something.
Yeah, true. Damn, I just lost my train of thought. Oh.
Good match.
There was actually another positive for the pay-per-view, which is what I'm trying to focus on. So we'll get that in a second. But probably should have done that one now. Thank God for the good one. But they had built up Mark Henry, and I could have swore he won a world championship when he was fighting Batista. I guess not.
Yeah, I don't remember what you're talking about, but
he was the big man against Batista a few years ago, and remember there was a cage match. He came out and attacked him and legitimately hurt Batista. I could have swore he was champion, but I forgot that Kurt Angle actually won the Battle Royal to win the championship after that.
Oh, okay.
World Heavyweight Belt. So it was shocking to me. I mean, he's won the ECW title. He and D'Lo won the tag team titles, didn't they?
I think so.
Okay. And I know he was European champion. Yeah, because Jeff Jarrett gave him the European championship.
Yeah, I don't know if he's won an IC or a US title.
No, I don't think so. So, but it's been such an up and down ride for him. And I remember there were times we were not very kind to him either. But as Eric has always pointed out, because at that time, yeah, you deserved it.
Yeah. Well, he did deserve it sometimes. And there are other times where I remember him cutting promos like this. You know what? That was the ECW run.
Yes, and he did win and he did win the title there.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden they stopped making him a monster, and they stopped letting him do the gospel kind of style promos with Tony Atlas.
And they just had, what the hell was it? The red suit, and he was smiling all the time. I remember it was one of the drafts he came down. And it was when he got drafted to Raw, and Randy Orton was champion, and Randy Orton was the heel.
Right.
Jack Swagger came down and let Randy Orton do whatever, because it was a gauntlet match. Mark Henry was the last guy. The whole crowd was like, uh-oh, because he was legit.
Yeah.
But he was also a bad guy at the time. He got in there, just destroyed Orton, which they didn't bring up, you know, of course not, but... destroyed Orton, the crowd was going nuts, and Henry was pretty much acting like he does now.
Oh.
And then a week later, he's smiling. It's like, oh, fuck, what are you guys doing?
Yeah, no, that to me, in some respects, it's impossible to book a guy who is that large, whether or not he's actually 400 pounds. I still wonder about occasionally, but he's not that, he's a huge dude. He's never going to be that agile. I mean, I'm sure JR or someone say, oh, he's more agile than you'll ever think. And it's just like, okay, yeah, sure. But, why you take him away from that monster thing is just beyond me.
Yeah.
You know, especially when he was on that role, it's just like, oh, yeah, you finally found your spot in ECW. Okay, we're getting rid of ECW. Let's completely kill your gimmick. Huh? How is that his fault? it's just like, did he run out of ideas? Well, no, fuck that. There's no way he ran out of ideas. See, I don't think he's coming up with the ideas for himself.
No, I'll agree with you on that one. But I think the monster side, he has perfect music. We've talked about this before. When you hear that boom, it's like the deep bass.
Yeah.
Boom, boom. And it goes, somebody's going to get their ass kicked. Immediately he walks out and you're like, oh shit. Someone really is going to get their head beat in here.
Yeah. And he just has that nice angry beard.
Yeah. But the best part is, go look at old pictures of him. When he shaves his head and doesn't have that beard, he's got a really nice face, like a nice guy face. Smiles and all that.
Yeah.
what I thought made the moment the best part of the moment was people cheered when he won. Like, and when he got on the mic, people started cheering.
Yeah.
And he just said, no, don't you cheer for me. You're not allowed to share this moment. This is another thing I've always mentioned or bring up. Anger makes everything in wrestling better. Genuine anger or emotion.
Oh, yeah.
You can't tell me some of that wasn't that.
Oh, yeah, no, that's just yeah. like CM Punk. It may have been, because we said the same thing. It may have been scripted. It may have been approved or, you know, at least some bullet points. But mm-hmm. you know what? You could tell with Punk and you could tell with him.
Right.
Yeah, there's just something to it. Like, especially with wrestlers, it's not like they're actors and you're going to buy it. Mm-hmm. You're not going to buy it more times than you're going to be like, ugh. So, yeah, when it comes across that genuine, you're like, man, they had to have been feeling that.
Yeah. And you could just see in his eyes, you could just tell because he kind of has that slow delivery, obviously, because everyone yells what in between his sentences. There was no slow slow delivery on that. It was, no, y'all don't get to share this moment. Y'all, you don't get to cheer for me. I was like, whoa. And I felt like kind of a dick because I just remember all the nasty shit, not nasty, but all the honest reflection. Nice way of saying horrible shit. that was put out there. And, you know, maybe we added some of it, but at that time it was for real.
Yeah.
But he kind of shuts you down and makes you feel sort of bad because, well, he improved and no one really said, hey, look at Mark Henry's improving.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
He just said, fuck y'all. You're not sharing in my triumph. And, you know me, I like that sort of stuff from people.
Yeah, no, good for him. You know, like, if it makes a good promo, I don't care.
Right.
Whatever. Well, and even with Jim Ross on Monday, like, I don't even know why Ross, because that was kind of funny when he's like tells me he isn't being sincere or something. It's just like, Ross just should have said, like, he knew he was in that situation. It's just like, yeah, you know what? I fucked up.
Glad you brought that up.
It's just like, hey, you know what? I was wrong. Because, I mean, and even Ross admitted that when Karma brought that up.
Mm-hmm.
And he started having to defend himself. He's like, you know what? You know, I screwed up, but then she even came out and said, hey, you know what? If he hadn't said that to me, I wouldn't have been as good as I am right now.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, in Mark Henry's case, he can't say that.
Oh, no, so, no. When you're around for 15-plus years or whatever it's been and you haven't gotten to this level before, you obviously were doing something wrong.
Yeah. Well, no, I meant Mark Henry couldn't come out and say, you know, all you naysayers, Jim Ross, the whole thing with Jim Ross, he couldn't have said, you know what, you doubted me, this and this and this. And then Mark Henry go, you know what, you're right.
Oh.
You know, he can't do that. Like, if he was a face, then sure. He'd be like, you know what, I respect your opinion, or, you know, something like that.
Well, yeah, and she didn't even really do that on TV. I mean, she just did that on Twitter.
Yeah,
so, I mean,
Twitter, so it doesn't count.
Yeah, it doesn't really count. It didn't reach the majority of people watching the product.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I think that's really it for Night of Champions. We'll work in the other positive into Raw because there's something. Were we going to talk about Raw? I can't remember.
We decided that we were going to do whatever the shit we wanted to. We can skip Raw. I mean, I've kind of put in some two cents about it already.
Yeah. All right, well, let's bring up the other positive of Night of Champions, and we'll work in the Raw part of that. The four-way match with the United States Championship, Swagger, Alex Riley, John Morrison, and Dolph Ziggler, obviously the champion. I was really afraid they were going to have either Swagger or Alex Riley win this match.
Oh.
So when Ziggler won, it was, you know, it was a good booking decision. Thank God.
Yeah, no, that was one of the few I said, because I said Swagger or Dolph will win to keep the Vicky feud running.
Right. So I guess, first, what happened to John Morrison? Second, why is Alex Riley wrestling? Third, Jack Swagger still, no matter what, they've tried to pair him with Vicky Guerrero, and it's not working. And then why is Dolph still stuck in these idiotic four-way matches like he was on SmackDown? At least he's winning all these.
Right. And, well, and he won at the pay-per-view, so that's a positive.
Right.
And I was so pumped that they gave him the majority of the mic time.
Yes.
On Raw. I was so pumped about that, and he delivered, to me at least.
Yes. Yeah, no. I think he delivered, but also it was a little intricate things that he did correctly. He was talking about Vicky Guerrero about something, and Dolph interrupted, and it threw Jackman off, he could tell. But Dolph interrupted and said, "Hey, watch the hands, pal." Or, "Hey, I'm talking to you," or "Look over here." And it was just Dolph's little zingers here and there. You know.
Yeah, he's pretty quick.
Yeah. But he's never shown this before. And
No. If he keeps showing it, maybe he'll get out of this shit or get off the pot. Territory that he's still involved with.
Yeah. And I like how he throws out his little quips for no reason. Unless you're a robot like Mason Ryan, no offense. Okay. At least Alex Riley gets it. I didn't get that one either.
Oh, right. The robot thing makes a little bit of sense because of the, the robot movie that Jackman's in.
Well, yeah, but I don't understand why he pointed out
Mason
Alex
Ryan.
Riley's name. Mason Ryan's name when it came to, it's like, Mason Ryan hasn't been on TV in months.
That is true.
Yeah.
Of course, that might be why he hasn't been on TV in months.
True. I'm trying to find the actual quote, but...
Yeah.
Twitter
blew up on that quote.
Yeah. But no, it was just funny, because it was smart, it was fast, it was off the cuff. And that's something that he's been needing to do. Now, if you watch... Zack Ryder's Long Island, True Long Island Stories. They have Ask a Heel with Dolph Ziggler. He crushes on that show.
Yeah. Because when he was doing the, because he did the whole opposite thing the one week, Archer is not the best show on TV right now.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm like, awesome.
And it wasn't that the same one where he was like, when are we going to start recording this?
Yeah. Yeah, because he cuts it and rips down a bunch of people, too.
Right.
And then, yeah, right at the end, he's like, are we recording this?
Yeah.
What? We are? And it just cuts out right at that point.
I'm trying to think, where the hell... I'm depending on somebody... Oh, here we go. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, whatever. Well, anyways, I thought it was cool... They gave Ziggler the moment to get in there with Hugh Jackman because Hugh Jackman is a big star. I mean, regardless if Real Steel looks like shit. and honestly, I don't know how many people know this. I don't know if we talked about this. Real Steel was originally Rock'em Sock'em Robots. Hasbro
was actually called that?
Yes, because Hasbro sold the rights to all their games.
Oh, okay.
So there's another movie coming out next year, Battleship. Battleship. You know, You Sank My Battleship?
Oh, yeah.
But they decided to use aliens instead of just make it a kick-ass, like, submarine or, naval battle.
Oh. Heaven forbid,
or fucking idiotic taste in music, or and that too, but movies, we have to see aliens. It just looks fucking stupid. Anyways.
Oh. Yeah, no kidding.
But yeah, man, I mean, they got, like, Sorry... They all Bubble Bobble, all these dumbass games they sold the rights to make movies of them all.
And now they're not using the names of the original things.
Yeah. I mean, I guess, do you think any adult is honestly, and not you little hipster fuckers, but, and I don't even know if hipsters, like little nostalgia geeks, that anything old is cool.
Right.
Do you really think anybody but them's gonna go see a movie called Rock'em Sock'em Robots?
No, and it's completely different than a Rock'em Sock'em Robot too. So
yeah, because they move, and it's not just two hands going as fast as possible. When I was really doing the motion, too. all right. Well, so there's that. That's Night of Champions with a little bit of Ziggler blowing again.
As soon as we get video capabilities, we will get to see Jeremy actually throwing punches.
Yeah, and I can pull my gun out and start yelling, "Talk, motherfucker." Did you watch that, by the way?
No. I haven't had the time since I got
All right. It's a thing called YouTube. Just put in Live from the Compound. And there's the funniest – it'll be one that's called like Funniest Moment. It's fucking hysterical. So it's a grown man pointing a gun at a camera yelling, "Talk, motherfucker." It's hilarious. Anyways. All right.
Yeah.
I know we said we weren't going to talk about this guy anymore. All right. Eric tried getting me to post something last week or so. I said, no, he's banned. He's not in wrestling anymore. We're not talking about him.
Yeah.
Kevin wasn't even doing anything with it. There you go. Well, now,
yeah,
he
kind of
worms his way back into our show.
I was the one in the big 11 to come up with said ban, and Eric disregarded said ban. And that's
pretty much
fine.
Immediately.
I will shut him out of the house when he tries to come here for WrestleMania next year.
Yes. Yes.
Either that or I'll make him sleep with the dogs all the time.
Yeah. Well, never mind. I'll say maybe 2 years ago he might have, but never mind.
Oh, I thought you were going to go with, well, if he brings his girlfriend.
No. No, I wasn't even thinking that. That's on you. Oh, boy. I've never talked to her, and I've only seen pictures, and she's quite the lovely woman. So, so there we have that. Getting back to another fuck up.
What do you mean another fuck up? Now you're saying she's the fuck up? I never said that.
Oh, that one. I like how you tried to turn that one around. That ain't gonna work. all right. So what we're talking about is Matt Hardy. I'm just going to keep pausing until something original comes up, but but no, Matt Hardy, it started yesterday. It came out he was arrested again. And then, I'm sorry, I got ahead of myself.
Yep.
He was actually arrested Friday, was it? All this news just came out, and all this news came out today, excuse me. First, he's going to rehab. No. I knew I was going to do that, and I'm embarrassed immediately. Let's see.
Okay, yeah, the raid was last Wednesday.
Yeah. And then, so, all right.
Oh, my Lord, that's all he had was the 20 vials of steroids and one hit of ecstasy?
20 vials. Just to, hang on. All right. We'll go through the chain of events as it was reported, okay?
Okay.
Matt Hardy puts up a video saying he's going to rehab.
Yeah, when was that? Because what?
That was on Sunday, I believe. Oh, no, my days are messed up. It was yesterday. It was on Monday that he posted it.
Right.
Okay. So,
which it doesn't make any sense because it's saying that he was released from police custody on Tuesday.
Well, yeah, that'd be today.
Well, how'd he do the video on Monday?
Because he turned himself in. He wasn't home at the time that they went and raided and took all the stuff. He wasn't home.
Oh.
This is how idiotic our system is. So they can go to your house, but if you're not home, apparently you can go, oh, yeah, I'll turn myself in tomorrow. Oh, okay, cool. Are you fucking kidding? Well, anyways.
Yeah.
So he puts up a video, and it's a very – and me especially, and Eric decided to post some of our old Matt Hardy stuff on Twitter again. Me especially, very, very, very hard on this man. All just and all with due cause.
Yep.
I'm not apologizing for one thing that I said.
As you shouldn't.
That being said, watching this video, and I got a totally different reaction, I think, than Eric did, which is what we're going to talk about tomorrow. I felt bad for the guy. I actually felt bad for him. And I felt bad and I felt sad for the guy. Because he was, honestly, at one point, that Mattitude stuff, it really seemed like he was going to take off.
Yeah. Everyone was freaking out about it. Everyone was waiting for the new Matt fact every week because they were so ridiculous.
Yeah.
everyone was laughing about it.
And he wasn't like, he wasn't the mushmouth thing he is now. He kept himself in shape, whether or not it was healthy reasons, I don't know. But it just seemed like it. But then he tanked off, and then that Lita stuff started, and then nothing ever came of it.
Yeah.
And then he discovers YouTube. It goes totally downhill. WWE gets rid of him. TNA takes him up. They fire him. The first person I can remember to ever get fired from TNA.
Yeah, it's an impressive feat to get canned by TNA.
Yeah. So during this video, and it's on the site, you can go watch it. He starts talking and he starts breaking down. Now, and this is something I reasoned out in my post was, I hope to God this is legit for him.
Yeah, I agree.
And it was funny because Eric was supposed to make counterpoints to my points, but he said it's kind of hard to do when you do that. You do both sides of it in your art and your blog. Like, yeah, well. But this is a guy that just – you go back, and who knows how long this has been going on. And you got that indie wrestler, that gutless indie wrestler that, you know, is going to take a stand and expose the Hardys or whatever. But
yeah.
So, I mean, I actually felt bad for the guy, and I'm not going to root against somebody turning their life around and getting clean.
Right.
You know, I may think despicable things, but I think that's kind of low, unless they're like a total, like just some dirtbag. And I mean,
if Charlie Manson's trying to go clean.
Right, and it's like, go fuck yourself. You just know it's not.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, you would have hoped that it would have hit before now, especially with his brother, because we were talking about it. His brother got busted 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's just like, how dumb can you be to still have drugs in your house?
Yeah. I'm going to try to remember my example.
Of course. I now that at least this one that I pulled up on the torch, because it says, it just says the steroids and the ecstasy. And it's just, I thought in the first report that I read, you know, there were more drugs than that, you know, like it was closer to what Jeff had. Because I thought there was a distribution. Not that you can't distribute steroids, I suppose, but, you know, I guess I was thinking he was going to have all the Vicodin and everything else that Jeff had in his house, too. Like, they just transferred stashes.
I'm trying to figure out how, like, measurement-wise, all right, a vial is 10 milliliters or 100 milligrams?
Oh, really?
Is that a lot? I honestly, I don't know.
Well, the only frame of reference I have is the 1.3 milliliters, that Kia gets shot up with every month for her bad hips.
Okay. No, these don't look like a lot, but I mean, I don't know much about steroid costs or, you know, distribution, obviously.
Yeah. Or so how much you use at one time. Like, I don't know. Do you only use like the 1 1/3, milliliters that she uses for her hips, or do you like go 10 milliliters at a time? I don't know.
Dude, every time you say 1.3 milliliters, I just want to yell 1.21 gigawatts. I have no idea. I have no idea why I have Back to the Future in my head. But no, I mean, maybe this is part where we should have done research, but you know, fuck that. I don't understand. Maybe maybe he didn't have a prescription for the steroids, you know?
Right.
And that's why he's up on charges. He had that stuff without any sort of prescription.
Yeah, it's possible. Well, I would think that's obvious, actually, if he got arrested for it.
Well, yeah, good call. but I just, it just seems like we were talking. If we lived in close proximity to each other and you get busted for distribution and we're well known to always be hanging out together, whatever.
And carousing together.
Exactly. And making idiotic videos and, you know, whatever else. Tasing girlfriends and whatnot, all right? The first thing I would do if you got busted, my house wouldn't have beer in that place. I wouldn't have legal substances in here. Aspirin, nothing. I would clear up my shit of everything and take it over to Eric's house. Because he's clearly the Shane Helms of this thing. You know? I mean, Dusty's Joey Abs, so I can't really go take the stuff to his place. But no, but it's like, why the hell? And apparently, though, and as I say this, I forgot about Reb Sky, his girlfriend, calling the police and showing him the secret vault. Where the fuck is that thing? Oh God. Yeah, there it is. I hate these. Hold on. Who did that? All right. She led them to a secret safe. So he clearly knows he shouldn't have them.
Well, come on. You don't just leave your drugs out in plain sight.
If you're an adult, you do. If you're an adult with no worries, you sure as hell do. Who cares? But it goes to the fact, though, if you get in trouble, I'm not leaving my shit in my house.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no. If you got busted 2 years ago, I would not have shit in my house.
Yeah.
There's not a chance in hell.
Yeah. That's what Shane Helms or Shane Nelson is for. You know? You take it over there. But even then, eventually, Shane Helms, if he's got a brain in his head, he's burning his house down to make sure that shit's not in there. You know, any of these guys, they just clean it out.
Yeah.
I guess I should back up and not insinuate that they have something. But if you do, it would be a wise idea to get rid of it, dummies.
Yeah, no, and I can't believe out of all of this, Shannon Moore is the only one not to injure himself or get himself busted up at this point.
What does he do?
Run his tattoo shop, I guess.
I suppose. He hasn't been on TV, so I don't even know if he works for TNA anymore. And, I'm not complaining.
Yeah, no, somehow out of all those jokers, he's the only one not to almost kill himself within the last 2 years.
Yeah. Shannon Moore is a responsible one.
Yeah, no, I
can't. Let that sink in, I guess.
Exactly.
I guess the question, though, is there's a definite question of sincerity. Dude, if either one of us or anybody I know that's going through shit and they're going to rehab, the last thing on their mind is going to be to make a YouTube video and pimp my channel and then tell everyone I have two big announcements and look for the next one, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's not exactly something that you want to...
The next one made by police.
Yeah. It's not exactly something that you want to promote.
No, and I mean, and you've obviously got to take into account, again, going back to your appropriate responses to some of his other stuff, he got fired from, or let go, or whatever happened, or released through request. how long ago now from the WWE? It was, cause what, Jeff got busted not more than a couple of months after he left the, after his contract ran out.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It was pretty quick after that.
Yeah. It was within probably 2 or 3 months at the most. And so I guess he's only been gone for about a year from the WWE?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. But how long within the WWE, though, was he saying he was going to tune his act up? Because he had all those injuries, and he kept on, you know, coming back from them or whatever. Oh, you know, I want to be in shape this time. And that kind of goes with the sincerity thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, well, how serious can you take this guy when he kept on saying he was going to reform, he was going to reform, he was going to reform for like 2 straight years?
Well, and also, let's not forget the YouTube video he posted sitting in front of his fireplace in summertime saying, you know, he's going to be reborn. And the whole idiotic one where, you know, he put the dates up and he goes, oh, it wasn't a suicide. Don't forget all that stuff.
Well, no.
I'm talking even now, not even going back to what, WrestleMania? Where was WrestleMania 26? Was that Orlando?
No. That was 24.
Where the hell was 26?
Phoenix.
Okay, yeah, it was Phoenix because they were in San Diego for SmackDown. That's the infamous San Diego
hot tub
one.
Yep.
And he's talking about that. And I mean, and let's never forget the chicka-chicka. never forget that. But yeah, I mean, going back to WWE, if you want to go back that far, it's one thing, and I think I mentioned this the last time we talked about him. People who get clean, people who get help, don't sit there and say, I'm going to get help, I'm going to rehab, I'm going to clean my act up. They just go do it.
Right.
And then they don't sit there and go, yeah, I'm doing well, yes, I'm doing that. It's other people coming up to them. Because no one in that situation wants to brag. Yeah, I used to be all fucked up, now I'm way better now. Except,
you know. Ew. Why wouldn't you say something like that?
Oh, man. Ed.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's pretty sad. Like, the demise of, you know, still what could be considered one of the greatest tag teams of all time has turned into this just train wreck.
It's funny. Looking back, yeah, I mean, but look at all that Team Extreme, Edge and Christian, the Dudleys, all that stuff.
Right.
Rhino is out of the business. Lita's out of the business. The Hardys are both out of the business. Edge had to retire. The Dudleys are floundering. Spike Dudley's out of the business. And Christian's the only one in WWE still. And he's fighting to get a sustained push, you know?
Yeah. I mean, with the Dudleys, they had to go south at some point or another.
Oh, yeah.
Good Lord. I mean, because by the time they were doing that with those guys, what, they've been around like 5-10 years or something?
Yeah.
I mean, they had been around for a while at that point. So, phew. Anywho.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's sad. I hope he gets his shit together. I mean, considering that Matt had a lot less in the drug department than his brother, and his brother got probation, basically, in whatever community service.
Yeah.
You know, how much is Matt really going to get? Like, it seems like if you want to get busted for drugs, you don't want to get busted in South Carolina, but North Carolina is a great place to get caught with drugs.
Oh, There's three people that are going to understand that joke, which is the best part about it. That's why I'm laughing. There's three or four, I should say. Oh, wow. It has nothing to do with me, so don't think it has anything to do with me. But yeah, the whole, really, it's a different discussion, but yeah, whatever.
If he's truly going to WWE-sponsored rehab.
Thank you for mentioning that, because there's a rant coming on that one. So.
Oh, okay. Well, no, if they're helping him go, and they've confirmed it, and they have a date, and, you know, again, kind of going back to what kind of a sentence is he going to get, if he gets in there before his, because, I mean, it's just arraignment on Thursday, like, he's not going to go to trial. If he does rehab and seems to be doing okay on his own by the time his trial actually comes about, because that's the other thing about North Carolina, you can evidently wait 2 years to get sentenced for any charges.
Yeah. You just have your lawyer in a court system just keep pushing it off?
Yeah, just go up to the judge. Hey, do you think you could hold this off another month? Oh, you need another three? Oh, okay. Yeah, sure. Yeah, that's great.
Oh, still not ready? Well, it's been 2 years. No, we're going to have to give you, we have to give you something this time. So here's a slap on the wrist. Work at a soup kitchen for 2 months and we'll just call it even. Okay, cool. And don't do it again. Don't do it again. But I'm glad you mentioned the WWE thing. That was the part that to me made me take notice of what he was talking about. Because when he said, I'm going to rehab, and he goes, I'm going to WWE's sponsored rehab, or through the, I don't remember the exact terminology, but through the graces of the WWE
Vince McMahon.
Assistants, I want to thank Vince McMahon, I want to thank John Laurinaitis, and somebody else. He mumbled, so I couldn't tell what he said. Now, the counter-argument to what I'm about to say is, well, Vince McMahon caused all this in the first place. Here's the cold fact of it is, Matt Hardy hasn't worked for Vince McMahon in a year. He's actually been under somebody else's employment for, 7 months? 6 months, maybe? And that's Dixie Carter, Panda Energy, you know, people who run Impact Wrestling. They didn't do shit for this guy. His immediate former employee or employer will run his brother out on TV apologizing. You know, I was in no shape to perform, and I couldn't do this. Got him no help. But quick to put him back on TV. But yet the brother that is falling apart, they fire after a DUI or DWI. You know, there's another guy in that company that just got two in 6 months. I'm pretty sure he's their champion, Kurt Angle, the guy that has absolutely no dependency issues or, you know, no health issues. That's what I actually meant to say. No health concerns whatsoever that may have led to some dependency issues that he openly talked about before he left WWE. But this fucking company doesn't do anything for Matt Hardy, and I'm not defending Matt Hardy.
Right.
I mean, that just seems like utter garbage that Vince McMahon should be the one that has to come in and spend his money to fix up a wrestler that they let go because he was a fucking disaster in the first place who wouldn't get help.
But you know what, though? It's one of those things, too, though, where because TNA is the little fish, the next time a wrestler dies, you know, Vince McMahon can just point again to, hey, this guy wasn't even under my employment. I sent him to rehab. I'm doing everything I can to help out my former employees. You know, for them, it makes sense.
No. I don't question WWE's involvement in this at all. I'm actually praising it, you know?
Yeah.
They have no business being involved in the process of fixing Matt Hardy.
Nope.
But yet, there's that open invitation or open, what word am I looking for? Open arms policy. I can't think of anything. Yeah, if you have a problem, if you need help, we will get you the help you need. But yet, everyone will quickly point out that Vince McMahon is the reason this happened in the first place. If it wasn't for him, none of this would be needed. And everyone knows that's horseshit. The indies are rampant with drug use. I mean, just sexual abuse, all that sort of stuff. And I'm not championing Vince McMahon. It sounds like it, but I'm not. But I think one thing that's going to get lost here is that he is providing the help that is needed. And these guys need to take it. Sean Waltman took it, and he's turned himself around, hopefully for good. But it's just infuriating that TNA is getting off on this, and Vince McMahon's not getting any of a small smattering of praise, if you want to put it that way.
Right.
But yet, no one has mentioned anything about how Dixie Carter should be on the hook for this. That she should be doing something. Just because they're the small fish doesn't excuse them from not doing something to help out their wrestlers.
Right. I agree, especially since they kind of said, when things really got kind of bad, they're like, oh, yeah, we have a testing policy, too, and it's just as stringent and, this, that, and the other thing. I mean, they kind of talked up their policy.
Yeah. But then how does – I guess my question
really,
would be,
sorry, we were just talking over each other.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I talked over you. Sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, no, I mean, and going back to Kurt Angle, they're talking about, how it was so much better for him, this, that, and the other thing. And the dude has gotten in trouble more working less days than he did working more dates.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, there was the whole, Rocket Khan? Is that her name?
Yeah.
Yeah. That whole thing with him stalking him, his marriage, the whole goofy thing with his marriage.
Yeah.
DWIs, DUIs.
Yeah, pretty much everything's happened under TNA's watch with him.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much. I mean, I'm sure that somebody could, find something that we're forgetting about in the WWE. But yeah, for the most part, the majority of his transgressions have taken place under TNA.
Yeah.
And even if he didn't do anything with Rocket Khan, even if he wasn't really stalking her and it was a bizarre coincidence, which I have a hard time believing, it's still something,
I'm just laughing at the sentence. It you got your point across perfectly, but it just, even if it's just some weird coincidence that he wasn't stalking her, it's just a weird thing to say, sorry. So
yeah, that's cool.
No, someone needs, besides being a shitty run promotion or shittily, is it shitty or shittily? Whatever. Run promotion. They can't book themselves ratings. They can't book themselves money. They're poorly run on a moral aspect.
Completely. I mean, even though I did like the two promos involving Jeff Hardy this past week. Again, that kind of goes to the, I don't know if it's the best idea either. Hey, I'm a big time drug user. What's up? In a sport
there's a bad aspect, yes.
In a sport that has been known over the recent past to have wrestlers die because of drug use. Like, I don't think you really want to draw any more attention to it than you have to. Like, yes, I understand it's a real issue and all that stuff, but wow, it just does not seem like a bright idea to me.
I know now we're getting into Jeff Hardy, but it just, those promos with D-Von going, I got your back and I'm going to do this. No, you don't. No, you're not. Because if that was the case, it would have happened anyways. Or I didn't see the AJ Styles one. I'm trying to find it online, but I got busy at work.
No.
So I don't know if it's any better. But
yeah, no. Like I said, I liked both of them. AJ's was better, but they were just trying to represent pretty much the two major points of view. They did that fairly well to me. It's the I've got your back promo and the fuck you, you're trying to fuck up my shit promo.
Oh, all right. Then I'll definitely have to watch AJ's then.
Yo, yeah. AJ's just like, no, dude, I have worked way too hard. I've kept my nose clean for 9 years. and you come in here and in less than a year, you try to throw away all my hard work.
Oh, wow. All right.
Yeah, no.
I definitely need to see that because I think I accidentally, or I swear Lisa's deleting TNA. I remember watching episodes and I won't be able to, oh, I haven't finished it and it's gone. But every time I turn it on, she's like, oh, is this that TNA shit? Every time. But then mysteriously Impact disappears. So, yeah.
Well, I don't blame her. I
found out Ring of Honor's coming here to Spartanburg.
Oh.
So I might actually.
When does their TV show start?
I don't know.
I just remember Eric saying that whenever they come on that new network that, you know, the is it just the three of us that are actually going to be able to get it?
I don't know. I thought it was you that were.
No, I can get it.
Eric wasn't going to be able to get it.
Huh?
If Eric gets it, I'm sure Dusty does.
Yeah, no, Eric's getting it. Then maybe it is all four. I thought maybe Dusty wasn't going to be getting it. Whatever. Anywho, that was a complete aside. Awesome.
Yeah. So, but anyways, to wrap up the show, wrap this up, because we're a little long, but whatever. In all seriousness, I want this Matt Hardy thing to be real. I want the guy to get clean. Like I said, I'm never rooting against somebody to get clean unless they just totally don't deserve it. I would rather do something, and I'm not trying to be like one of these overly positive guys, but I would love to write in a year or two from now about Matt Hardy, where he is like now, you know, with him being, whether he's going to run his pro wrestling school, like he wants to create one, whatever.
Right.
Or if he's back in some sort of league, maybe he's not champion, but maybe, you know what? He's a serviceable hand that's making a living, doing what he supposedly loves doing. I think that would be so much more interesting and so much more fun to write about than, oh, God, he's a tub of butter, or he's a half-mongoloid retard, or he eats too much ding-dongs, or, you know what? We're out of fat jokes almost. I mean, I know we're not, but we almost are. So it's just one of those, it would just be so much more refreshing to write something positive.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I'm sure if I'm going to get made fun of for that, whatever. I don't care. That's how I feel about it. But there's a steady dose of apprehension in this, in case no one could tell.
Oh, so. Yeah, no. I think noting all the times that he has gone back on his word, I think that covers our feelings on that.
Yeah. And we didn't even get into it. Maybe I'll do this with Eric. Oh, yeah, and I also reserve the right to make fun of this guy tomorrow with Eric. So it's going to be a totally different change of pace. But just know that that is the actual truth behind it. So I guess let's wrap it up. Let's get out of here. All right, hang on.
Yep, do it.
All right, so if you got anything you want to tell us, it's stuntgranny@gmail.com. You can make a comment in the comment section underneath this posting of this. I am Granny Maze at Granny Maze, at DeFrango11, at Dusty Gaming, Eric Nelson. You have to find on your own if you haven't figured it out by now. We're also at Stunt Granny, which I always forget to say. We have a Twitter tag. Whoops. So I'm out of here. Have a good night. Talk to you guys tomorrow.
Okie doke, grandkids. Unlike Matt Hardy, I am not dependent, so I'm going to go grab myself a sippy time beer and enjoy my night.
How's that for pile driving, Miss Daisy?